not the perfect answer. What exactly did God use to redeem you from an eternal hell? It's in the right direction, by the way. That means the answer is a byproduct of that. Yeah?
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus. Open your Bible to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Or if you don't like Colossians, you can open to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. They are saying exactly the same thing. So someone to Ephesians 1, 7, and someone else open to Colossians 1, 13. Written by the same person, Apostle Paul. Is it 1:14, I think? Is it 1:13 or 14? Yes, Sister Ronka, is it 14 or 13? 14, yes. So let's have it read quickly. Colossians 1:13, and someone else read Ephesians 1:7. So Colossians 1:14, sorry, 1:14. Yes, yes, that's, wait a minute.
In whom we have redemption.
In whom we have redemption, yes?
The forgiveness of sins.
The forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7.
So rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins.
Oh, hallelujah. Sorry, I just was looking at Colossians 1:14 again. Yes, that version was trying to dribble me. Let's have Colossians 1:14 for another version. Because I didn't hear blood there. That's why I got confused. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:14 from another version.
In whom we have redemption through his blood.
In whom we have redemption. How?
Through his blood.
Hallelujah. It's through his blood. Thank you. Anyway, that shows us that when we are studying the Bible, we should use those version. Otherwise, you will have a narrow view. 1, 2, 3. Then you can have a broader view. Hallelujah. We do have redemption in him, but it is through his blood. Now, you need to, I can't stay too long on it, but you need to understand the blood of Jesus. Sometimes we take it for granted, God, we just get used to it. You don't understand the blood of Jesus. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, which is part of what we are reading, and then I'll come back to the blood of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19. Someone read for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 is part of what we're looking at today. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Sister Ronke.
Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself.
20.
For God bought you with a high price.
For God? What did God do?
Bought you.
How?
With a high price.
Oh, no, George. Let's do that again. I said God bought you. How? Together?
With a high price.
The blood of Jesus is a high price. God bought you out with a high price. If you understand what was involved in God buying you, yeah, from the market of sin and making you a child of God. God bought you from the market of spiritual death and made you a child of God. In fact, Colossians 1:13 tells us that he delivered us from what? The power of darkness. That means that without the blood of Jesus, you are a slave of darkness. Naturally, you understand, you are a slave of darkness without redemption. God redeemed you. What saved you is not the fact that you came to church. Attending church cannot save you, just like your good works cannot save you. Yeah, you know why? Because you are under the dominion of darkness. Why are you under the dominion of darkness? Because from the day Adam fell, and you were inside Adam when he fell, by the way, do you know that? You were inside him. As Adam had trillion seeds, you are one of the seed of Adam. You came out of him, just like you came out of your parents. Amen? The day Adam fell, he dragged us all into what? Spiritual darkness. That's why in your natural self, you want to sin. If you are born again, just naturally. You don't have to teach a child
how to lie. He said, oh, where did you put that thing? The child smiles. In my room. Whereas it's behind the chair. You understand? You don't teach them. You don't teach a child to be naughty. What am I talking? It just comes naturally. That's how we are born. But he came, Jesus, and he delivered us from the power of darkness. You know, he did it through his blood. Let me give you a little bit of understanding why the blood is a high price. You don't understand. The blood of Jesus is the blood of God. God became a man. Not like God became a man to live with fallen men like us. Imagine. God had to go and use the toilet. Did you understand that? He never did that in all eternity. Then just for your sake, he becomes a man. Starts getting hungry. Yeah? God becomes a man. He was sleepy. He was tired. He was hungry. Hallelujah. God lowered himself and became what? A man. That's a high price. Not just that. God allowed himself to be crucified by humans. I see that was not enough. God, because even when Jesus was on the cross, he still had the power. You know, he still forgave that thief. Yeah? He still forgave that thief. Even when they challenge, say, oh, you know, he said, don't you know? I can call my father now and he will send a legion of angels. Do you understand? God allowed his body to be destroyed by human beings. Not just Jews. Who crucified Jesus? Who crucified Jesus? Who crucified Jesus?
The Jews.
The Jews? Who actually physically crucified Jesus? The Gentiles. In fact, who crucified Jesus? Sister Agnes. And me. Hallelujah. It's you and I. Hallelujah. His body was destroyed. You don't want to watch it. Actually, you should watch it. If you never watched The Passion of the Christ, watch it. It's good for you. That's the only horror movie that is good for you. All others are not good. Horror movie brings fear into your life, you know? So if you watch an horror movie and you're afraid, you're being afraid, you open the door and there's Satan coming. And you know what Satan will do? He doesn't refuse an invitation. Are you with me? But if you watch The Passion of Christ, you understand that his body was broken. They broke it for you. Amen. That is why your own body can be healed. Hallelujah. And made. Oh. Says yes, I say God has the spare part. His body was broken. So that my own body. Touch your body. Touch any part that you want to touch. It's your body. Hallelujah. So that my body can be made. Oh. Hallelujah. That's why the other day, months ago, when I saw a sore in my leg, you know, I traveled. And I came back. I don't even know when it came, but it was there. So, you know, when you have a sore, you know, you scratch it, and it was becoming bigger. And I looked at it, and I spoke to it. I said, yeah, my body, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Hallelujah. If you don't try, you will not experience it. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you speak like that, the devil will, he's a stubborn goat. You know, Mr. Ho says he's a stubborn goat. He will now try to show you that it won't work. Stand your ground. Keep speaking to it. Hallelujah. It must obey. It must what? Obey. Hallelujah. Listen to me. If you have any sickness in your body, and all you're doing is going to the doctor, you are just living like a natural man only. You can't go to the doctor. God provided the doctors. Hallelujah. God provided the medicine. Hallelujah. But that's not God's perfect plan for you. Amen. Go to the doctor, depending on your level of faith. But don't just go to the doctor. There's a reason why you have 100% access to your body all the time.
Except when you are sleeping. You have access when you are sleeping, isn't it? That's why when you are sleeping, your bladder is full. One way or the other, you're with you. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Speak to your body. That part of your body that is not well, speak to it every day. At least tell your body your mind. If you don't want to tell your body your spirit, tell your body what? Your mind. Hallelujah. So speak to it. It's not your power. It's the power of God. Yeah? It will never be your power. Hallelujah. In fact, I need to explain to you. What God gave you is not power. What God gave you is authority. Hallelujah. You may be on the street, you meet a policeman who is smaller than you. Yeah? Are you with me? That if you were to be put in a wrestling ring or boxing ring, you will beat black blue out of that policeman. Are you with me? But when the policeman is outside, he's not outside in his power. He's outside on the authority of the government. Hallelujah. The policeman functions by authority. You obey and respect the policeman by what? Because of the authority they have. Jesus said, I have given you what? Authority. It's not the power. Now, how do you use authority? Think about it. How does the policeman, if the policeman wants you to, let's assume that you're over here and the policeman wants you to come here. What does he do? In the first instance. Yes. That again? What does he do?
Come here.
He will speak to you. Hallelujah. And by the way, he will not speak like, come here. He will speak to you on the basis and the confidence of his authority. Hallelujah. That is the same way you need to speak to your body. You speak to it on the basis and the confidence of the authority you have been given through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, that was not part of the message. But it's a message for somebody here today. Hallelujah. Right. So you have been redeemed by a precious price. The blood of Jesus. Many times we go about quoting John 3:16. But we never quote John 3:17. Let's quote John 3:17. And look at John 3:17. Because John 3:17 is the junior sister of John 3:16. Actually, they're not junior sister. It's the half sister. They have equal right. John 3:17. Let's look at John 3:17. Anyone? John 3:17.
It says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world.
God did not send his son to condemn the world. I know we've preached it. Normally you hear that on TV. Yeah? You hear something like, just wait, sir. God, you know, you hear something like, God loves everybody. And I tell you something, that is absolutely true. Even Osama bin Laden, God loves him. By the way, there's a rumor that maybe he's not yet dead. I'm not joking. But God loves him. Hallelujah. Yes, continue.
But that the world through him might be saved.
God did not send his son to condemn the world, whether the worst person or the best person. But that the world, the whole world through him can be saved. Yes, go on.
He that believeth on him is not condemned.
Yes.
But he that believeth not.
He who refuses to believe on the Son.
Is condemned already.
Is condemned already. Please read verse 18. Let's understand the condemnation.
Yeah.
Why will people go to hell? Why? What we send a human being to hell in the day we are living? Verse 18.
He says, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
That's why. Hello? When a man, and when I say man, I mean male, female, refuses to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, that is what sends them to hear. It doesn't matter how good they are. They are still sinners. They are still, you know, the best person in this world without Jesus is still full of pride and selfishness. Yeah? It's still full of what? It doesn't matter how much they give to charity. It doesn't matter how well they take care of the front of their house. You know, some people are very good at that. Yeah? If they cannot understand that without God, they are spiritually and morally bankrupt, they need a savior. It is the rejection of Jesus that sends people to hell. And in fact, actually, nobody will die without facing that line of God will give you at least one opportunity in your lifetime to make a decision about Jesus. Hello? Are you listening to me? God will give you what? At least one opportunity. Well, let me tell you something. The more we preach, the greater the opportunities. Because faith comes by hearing. Hallelujah. For example, if I want to start working in healing and divine health, you know what I need to do? I need to preach and preach and preach and preach on healing. Then your faith will rise. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, if I want you to break the back of poverty and financial insecurity, you know what I need to do? I need to preach and preach and preach on tithing and giving until you understand it in your spirit, man. The day you understand it, that day is the day you have broken the back of poverty forever. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's the law of God. Hallelujah. If the devil is oppressing your life, and I want you, you know, if the devil is oppressing your life, I want to pamper you. You know what I would do? I'll just pray for you. I pray and deliver you. So, Sakodia, you are delivered. You can go. 2 months' time, what will happen? You are back again. But if I want to get you delivered from that oppression, I will preach and teach and preach and teach about what Jesus has done to defeat the devil until you understand that the devil is defeated, and that as a believer your surname is now Christ. Sister Agnes, what's your name? Agnes. Hallelujah. What was the name of Jesus? Jesus. That's your surname. And if you begin to understand that that's your surname, you understand that the devil does not have the legal right to lord it over you. But you remember that the devil is a thief. Thief don't follow constitution. Hello? You know, it's a common statement. Say, even among thieves, there's no what? There's no honor even among thieves. So in the association of thieves, yeah, in their labor union, there's no honor. How much more among others? The thief knows that he does not have the legal right to break into your property. But he will try. You know why he will try? He's a thief. Do you understand? The Bible says that the thief does not come except to do what? To steal. And to do what? And to kill. And to do what? So, I'm trying to make you understand that if you see a sign that something is being stolen, who did it? The thief. If something was being killed or destroyed, and you're like, who did it? Are you listening to me? It's not God. It's the thief. But let me explain to you. The thief can only operate when you allow him. When you make no preparation or no, you don't fortify yourself, you don't prepare, when you are not obedient. Obedience is the key to blessing. Hallelujah. Let me explain blessing to you. Blessing is this. God has already blessed you. You know why? Because every good and perfect gift comes from God. That's not the best reason I can give you. The reason is that every time God thinks about you, he said, the thoughts I think. You don't understand God. May the Lord give us more revelation of who he is in Jesus' name. God says, every thought I think towards you is a thought of good and not evil. Do you know, if I get that revelation fully, all I want to do is, God, let me just walk with you. I'm sure that you have my best interest all the time. Hallelujah. You that you are very limited. We said this in the Home Fellowship on Friday. He said that your brain is at best a calculator. Your brain. You know, sometimes you say, I have a brain, so I can make my own decisions. Yeah? But your brain is just a calculator, it's a computer. Your brain cannot give you information that it has no data on. Every decision you make using your brain is based on the experiences and the data and the information you have received. Your brain cannot take you beyond what it has received. So at best, your brain is smart. Nothing more. Hallelujah. But life, your smartness is not enough to overcome Satan. Think about it. If you are talking of experience, how old are you? 30 years. How old is Satan? Well, we don't know, but we know that he has been there since Adam. So let's give him 6,000 years. Your experience is nothing compared to the experience of Satan. Are you listening to me? You need wisdom. Say to yourself, I need wisdom. No, you didn't say it. Well, say, I need wisdom. Hallelujah. And we said last time that wisdom is the ability to discern truth. But I just want to add to it. It's not just to discern. If you like design all the tools of the world, but don't obey it, you are still a foolish person. Wisdom is the ability to discern and obey truth. Jesus said, he said, anybody who hears these words of mine, yeah, and puts it into practice. Hello, are you with me? It's not just to hear the word of Jesus, but what you do? You put it into practice. He said, it's like a wise man that built his house where? On the rock. No shaking. He said, because look at what Jesus said. He said, why? He said, because when, not if, when. Everybody say when? It's not if. I'm quoting from Matthew. Is there anybody that hears this word of mine and puts it into practice? Is like a wise man that builds his house on the rock. He said, when the storms come and the winds and the waves and whatever, yeah, and they try to shake the house, yeah, that house will remain unshaking. Unshakable. Why? He even gave the reason. He gave the reason. He said, because it was built on a rock. But he said, anyone. Somebody say, any. Nobody's excluded. Not even David Cameron. The other day I was just thinking, I said, what will I do if I'm just walking on the street and I meet David Cameron? You know? Then I say, I don't know. Maybe I'll preach to him. Can you see yourself like that? You know, can you see yourself? You meet David Cameron. Instead of saying, oh, it's so good to meet. Yeah. Today is one of the best days in my month. I met David Cameron. I'm on TV. I'll preach to him. He needs salvation as much as the pauper on the street. Hallelujah. Is there anybody that hears this word of man and does not obey them, does not put it in practice? Who is he? He heard. He heard the word. He even went to church every Sunday. He heard the word. He kept notes, marked the Bible. You know? But he did not do anything. He said, who is he? A foolish person. Say to yourself, I refuse to be foolish. Hallelujah. God has never changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your response to the word of God determines your progress in life. And in particular, in your walk with God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the Bible says something. He said, the person that hears the word and does not do it is like a man that goes to the mirror, beholds himself in the mirror, sees the problem, and then straight away, he walks away and forgets what he saw. He said, go. For example, do you have an idea of how you look? An idea. Yes, you do have an idea, you're a lady. Let me ask someone who is more bold there. Sister Mary, do you have an idea of how you look? Okay, if you don't have an idea, just put your smartphone into slide silent, into standby, look at it. to give you a good idea. Amen? Let me just see how I'm looking. Okay, fine. Then straight away, you forget. You see, look at that word is very deep. What it's trying to tell you is that if you look into the word of God, it paints you an image. That image, yeah, is supposed to be worked on. It shows you, first of all, who God wants you to be. Hallelujah. And that's the best you. It's the best you. It's the what? The best you. Then the word of God also shows you who you are looking now. What you are looking like. Hallelujah. Those two images must not be forgotten. Your job now is when you move away, start the journey and start walking from who you are looking like to who God has already called you to be. That is the pathway to fulfill your destiny. Amen. Let's go back to the sermon. Question. So we just talked about what exactly did God do to redeem us? And we said it was through the blood. In whom we have redemption through his what? His blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the old is the shadow of the new. The Old Testament is the shadow of the New Testament. You should read the Old Testament. If you don't, you will not know that. You will not know God. The Old Testament happened over, if we take all the stories from Adam to, let's just round it up. We're talking about 4,000 years of God dealing with men. You don't want to study that? You will never know God. Because God has been dealing with men from the beginning. And God has not changed. Hello? I said God has not what? Has not changed. Begin to understand God from the old. You begin to understand why the new is better than the old. Hallelujah. Because God has not changed. Okay? God has not changed. So you know what happened? In the Old Testament, what they did was, in order to get forgiveness of their sins, everybody or somebody will buy a lamb, or a spotless lamb, and then they will take it to the priest, and the priest will pass over, you know, slaughter this lamb, and the blood from this lamb. It must have been a market of blood. Just imagine, if you kill, you know, let's just say 1,000 lambs, and this priest will take this blood, you know, in buckets or bowls, and then go to the temple, and the blood is poured over the mercy seat. Yeah? And that's how the people received forgiveness. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus, when he died on the cross and shed his blood, he took that blood. It's in Hebrews. Because of time, I don't want to go there. But I say he offered it, the blood of the eternal spirit. Hallelujah. Because the one you have in the temple on earth is a shadow. Now, if you want to know how God's throne looks like in heaven, please study the Jerusalem temple, because that is exactly the shadow of the real thing. Hallelujah. Even the Ark of the Covenant, you have two cherubim looking over. That's exactly how it is like at the throne room. But Jesus took his blood and entered into the Holy of Holies, not the one on the earth, the real Holy of Holies. And he poured that blood. Let me tell you the difference between the blood. That blood is still there. The one on earth, each time it will dry up, they will clean it. And then next year, again. But this blood is eternal. He goes there and he poured it. Hallelujah. That is why every time you sin, and 1 John 1 says, if we say we have no sin, what are we? We are being foolish. But if we admit, you have to admit what you have done wrong. And it's on a daily basis, you will see it. In fact, it's the best time to confess your sin is not when you are going to bed. Say, Father, if I've committed any sin today, please forgive me. That's not a good confession. As soon as the Holy Spirit convicts you, whatever, imagine you just meet someone on the road, you didn't greet them well. The Holy Spirit will say, Brother Dele, where you got that man? You see, maybe he annoyed you the day before. You may not even know. You may tell yourself you are not angry. But you just think, oh, okay, see you. That's it. It's not good. Immediately, so Father, I admit and I'm sorry. The Bible says, the blood of Jesus, what does it do? It cleanses us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the power of the blood. So we understand that we have been redeemed by the blood. But now that we understand what God did, the high price God used to purchase us, how should we respond? That's the question. Now we understand what it cost God to redeem us. And I didn't even go into it. But how should we respond to that which God has done for us? Sister Nika is sitting at the back, looking very quiet. That's my mic. I was almost chased away from my former church because of this. When I preach, I engage people. Say, you know, but we don't do it like that. I'm not trying to do it because I'm trying to feel cool or whatever. The reason I do this is just, I can't get to your spirit except through your mind. If you don't understand the word that you're hearing, it cannot do you any good. Are you with me? Now that we understand that how God redeems us, you know, paying such a high price, how should we respond to God based on what he has done for us? The answer is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. But you don't have your Bible with you, so that's good. No, actually, you have it, but it's not opened. 1 Corinthians 6, 20, that's the answer. How should we respond to God knowing the high price that God has used to redeem us? 1 Corinthians 6, 20. How should we respond? The mic is with Sister Nike. 1 Corinthians 6:20 gives us the answer.
We should honor and glorify God with our body.
Hallelujah. Read verse 19 and 20 together. Yes, verse 19 and 20.
Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?
Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Yes.
Who is within you?
Who lives within you? Yes.
Whom you have received as a gift from God.
You have received him as a gift from God. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Hallelujah. We'll wait for you. You are an important part of this message.
And that you are not your own property.
You are not. Please turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. Smile at them. Very well. Tell them, say, your body is not your own. Your body is not your own. You thought it was your own? I know you've been managing it for God for the last whatever years, but it's still not your own. You're a custodian. Please, the Holy Spirit wants me to say something else. Please, turn to your neighbor. You can tell them. Say, your children, both the ones you have now and the ones to come, that's for those who want more or those who are seeking. They are not your own. They belong to the Lord. Psalm 127 says, children are a gift. The day I understood that scripture, I understood that I am not the owner of my children. Neither am I the owner of their destiny. Neither should I try to constrain their destiny to fulfill my own selfish desire and ambition. I am a custodian of divine destinies. That should make me fearful. Not a holy fear. That I have a responsibility to train and prepare these children so that when the time comes for them to enter their destiny, they are ready. And I will answer to God regarding that. Just like I will answer to God regarding my body. Because it is not my own. Please read it. Continue.
You were bought with a price.
You were bought with a price. So what should you do when you understand that you have been bought with a price?
So then honor and glorify
God. Honor and glorify God with your body. Are you with me? Please go to verse 16 and 17. First Corinthians, open your Bible. First Corinthians 16, chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Just wait before you read. Let me just see if I've tracked it right. No, that's not what I want. Go to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13. Yes, I think I can round up here. You know, I've not. It's okay. You allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. Well, let me see how far I can go. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13 and 14. I want to explain something very important to you there. Yes, go on.
Food is for the stomach.
Food is what? Where else is it for? I know you, sometimes you. You eat a food that is so nice, you wish for it to remain in your mouth. Yeah? Mm. But where is the final destination of the food? The stomach. At least as food before it's processed. Yes, go on.
And the stomach for food.
Yes.
But God will do away with both of them. The body is not intended for sexual immorality.
The body is not for sexual immorality.
But for the Lord.
But for the Lord. That's where, and the other one, the Lord.
And the Lord is for the body.
Let me explain that to you. Very important you understand. You need to understand that this is your body. Please read verse 14. Finish it.
And God has not only raised the Lord to life, but will also raise us by his power.
Yes, I know. What it was. That last part, when you read it, you just read it. You don't understand what he's talking about. What that last part is saying is that the day is coming where this body you have will go to the grave. As I say, don't let your body take you to hell. Say something to your neighbor, tell them, say, do like this. My wife will be very angry with me. Say, don't point your finger. So if I point my finger, that's just me. I'm not trying to be naughty. Say, don't let your body drag you to hell. Let me tell you something. The body has no future. The future of the body is the grave. Are you with me? But why Paul was writing there is that God has a bigger plan. God. You know, I thought about the body of Jesus, that it was broken, shattered, destroyed. They crushed him. Watch the Passion of the Christ. But that body is gone to the grave. Amen. Jesus just decided to retain some features. Yeah? He said, put your hand there, stay there. God's plan for your body is that he will resurrect you. Yeah? When Jesus comes back in the new millennium, you'll be resurrected with a new body. This body is mortal. The one that God will resurrect is immortal. This body is perishable. It's susceptible to sin or sickness or whatever. But the one that God will raise you up with is perfect. Hallelujah. Never to be broken again. But what he's trying to tell you is, he said, this body you have now, even this one that is perishing, there's only one reason God gave the body. But you not understand it if I don't explain it. You see, last week we were able to explain to us that your body has a spiritual value. You may think, oh yeah, it doesn't matter, you know, what I do with my body, I'm spirit. You don't understand. The day you lose your body, you have lost the right to be on this earth. Hello? I want that to sink in. That's the spiritual value of your body. The day you lose your body, you cannot remain here. That's why when you hear about, you know, people who have died and, you know, they are, I don't know how they say it. How did they say it? They are roaming around or the other way. Say, my father has come back, you know, and my daughter, reincarnation, then the other ones, ghost, you know, those sort of stories. You know, Ghostbusters. Yeah, you know, people like that. They want to bust ghosts. How would they bust the ghost? Yeah? With their whatever. You think that one can bust a ghost? Hello? It's like I was having a chat with my sister. He said, the dog will eat the spirit. You think a dog can eat a spirit? Yeah? A dog. A dog? You yourself can kill a dog. How much more a spirit? When a man dies, Bible says it's appointed to a man to die once. How many times? Once. And after that, the judgment is not even waiting. It's after, immediately after. What is waiting is the sentencing. But the judgment is after, immediately. And then they are remanded in prison until the sentence. But the judgment is after the spirit leaves the body. Now, when somebody dies, they lose the right to remain on this earth. The only spirits that have the right to remain, to be on this earth, who don't have bodies, are demons. Are you with me? They're demons. But their time will be up one day. You know when Jesus says, Jesus, have you come for us to chase us before the time? The time is coming when their time will be up. Hallelujah. When their time is up, you know what will happen to them? they will be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And after that, straight from bottomless pit to where? Final sentence, lake of fire. You listen to me. The value of your body is that your body is what enables you to operate spiritually. If your body is defiled, your spirit is defiled. It's just like if your house is full of smell and you live in that house, when you come out and we smell you, what will we smell? I'm not even talking to that. Because, you know, if I stay there, say, oh, maybe I'm refining to start. I'm not refining to start. Let's try Brother Toby. I'm not even referring to him, but I know that he doesn't mind. Yeah? If your body is full of smell and you come out, what will be the perfume we'll be smelling? Same smell. And the worst thing about it is that you yourself will not smell it after a while. Hello? I say, if your body is defiled, you will not smell it after a while. You get used to it. Are you with me? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know what a temple is? It's like, Claudia, you helped me last week. What is a temple? We'll be rounding up now within 5 minutes. What is, when you say something is a temple, I know we said it too many times, we forgot the meaning. What is a temple?
Place of worship.
A temple is a place of worship. What does Romans 12 1 tell you? He said, offer your body to God as a living sacrifice. He said, this is your true act of worship. This is your true act of worship. Your body is the instrument by which you can express your worship to God. Not only when you are singing. Everything you do. Every time. Let me explain worship to you. Worship is this. Every time you honor God is worship. Whether with your words or with your thoughts. Sometimes, let me tell you something. It's not every thought that comes to your mind that is your own. Yeah? Even your friend can introduce a thought into your mind. Is that not how the devil tempts you? He will bring a thought. So, when a thought comes into you that you know that does not agree with what the word of God has said about your life, you what do? You reject it. Now, how do you reject a thought? Is that Mary? Same answer. How do you reject a thought?
You confess.
You speak. You what? If you want to interrupt somebody's thinking, what do? You speak. For example, Agnes, for some time now, your mind has traveled. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I just know. But now I got you back. Hallelujah. You know how? You speak. You want? You speak. So when the thought comes to you that you don't want, what do? You speak to it. You speak to it what it needs to hear. Then it will go. Now, for as long as that thought remains, what do? Keep speaking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't want to think, you don't want to be tempted with thoughts of immorality, stop watching what will feed you that temptation. That's your weakness. Your weakness is not the immorality. Your weakness is your inability to stop watching or hearing or reading what will move you on that way. Are you listening to me? Your weakness is not the immorality. Immorality is the weakness of the flesh. Are you listening to me? But what you hear, what you see, and what your conversation, even the music you hear can prepare you for immorality. So when immorality comes, you are ready. Listen to me. And if you're going to overcome immorality, the battle will start from the input into your life. Now, let me finish here because of time. I won't go anywhere else. I'm out of time. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 6, 13 to 14. And then let's read verse 17. So I just want to talk about that. And then we finish there. 1 Corinthians 6, 13 to 14. And verse 17. One day later, I'll have to come back to this message because I didn't touch my points. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13, verse 14, and verse 17. Okay, I'll let Daddy read for us. We are finishing on that note. I want to show you. I told you I will give you a little peek of heaven. Yeah? This is where we look at it. Yes?
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 6, starting from 13.
Yes.
Food is for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will put an end to them together. But the body is not for the desires of the flesh, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. 14. And God, who made the Lord Jesus come back from the dead, will do the same for us by his power.
Amen. Verse 17. No, 16 and 17 now. Let's read 16 and 17.
Verse 16. Or do you not see that he who is joined to a loose woman is one body with her? For God has said, the two of them will become one flesh. 17. But he who is united to the Lord is one spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Daddy. God bless you. All right, we're going to round up on that note. Just share you some things. It's not the type of conventional message you hear on this. We have to look deeper. See, what the Bible is this. Food is essential to the body for survival. If you don't eat for a very long time, you will die. Of what? Starvation. Hello? Are you with me? But even food does not need to be your master. Someone help me say, how long can you go without food before you die? Now, by the way, you are drinking water. Okay, let's start. I'll try to help you. How long can you go without water before dying? You know, water is more essential to the body than food. Your body is like 60 to 70% water. So how long can you go without water before dying? Of what? Dehydration. Yes?
7 days.
Yes, if you go, no, it varies. It depends on your body, where you are, whether you are in the Sahara Desert or in Little England or Great Britain, you know. But let's just say an average of 7. It's not an absolute answer. It will vary. Some people will die after 3 days without water. Do you understand? Some people will die after 1 day without water. Then maybe their body cannot cope it. Yeah? Okay, fine. So let's stop there. That's okay. Now, how long can your body go without food? You are drinking water. You are drinking water. Please understand me. You are drinking water, but without food before you die of starvation. There's no absolute answer. Well, let's have an estimate. Yes?
I said 90 days.
90 days? 2 weeks. 2 weeks, yes? 40 days? After? 40 days? Anybody that person? Okay, I'll go with Pamela's answer. 90, 3 months. Yeah, do your check, search it, try Google it. If you keep drinking water, it depends on your body. Some people go 2 weeks and die. Yeah, are you listening to me? Someone say if you want to go to a long fast, consult your doctor first. Don't ever quote Pastor Ben. Are you understanding me? I'm not liable. This is a disclaimer. So, but food is essential for the body. Get the revelation there. But even food essential can be abstained from. But it's essential. Do you understand? That's one of the ways you can glorify God with your body. Is to eat well. No, I don't want to use that way. Eat properly. Probably means not too little and not too much. The right type of food. If you want to glorify God with your body, this body must be well maintained. You need to eat well, properly. You need to exercise properly. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about going to the gym. Yeah, if you want to go to the gym to exercise, that's perfectly okay. But in the many days before, there was no gym. Have you ever thought about it? In the days of Adam, there was no gym. And they're still exercising properly. The reason why you're going to gym is that you're not burning that energy elsewhere. Yeah? Start with your house and your home. Add value to something there. Start with the church. Add value to something there. Start with people, you know, in need. Add value. When you finish adding all those values and you still have excess energy, go. I will pay for your gym fee. Then another thing to maintain your body well is you need to rest properly. If sometimes the people they're constantly having migraine. You know why? They are not resting properly. Study your body. For me, I've studied my body. I say I need 7 hours sleep every day. If I sleep 7 hours, I'm okay. If I can sleep 7 hours, I'm okay. Then fight for it. God will not do it for you. Do you understand? Fight for it. Some people will go 5 hours, they are okay. There are sometimes you will sleep less, but compensate for it. Do you understand? Now let me tell you something. Resting properly means sleeping enough, but if you start sleeping too much also, you're anybody who likes to sleep too much in the house?
Hallelujah. I mean, you can sleep too much if you're on, you know, an holiday, you know, for 1 week. You can just take a day and just, this sleep, you've been punishing me. Today, I will show you. Let's just sleep. That's fine. That's okay. Okay, we're rounding up. I just wanted to break that down. But he's not saying that. You see, food is for the stomach, but one day, God will destroy them. Do you know why God will destroy them? God will give you a new body. You understand? Did that let me, I want to show you a picture into your eternal state. That new body can still eat food. Because Jesus said, I will eat with you in the kingdom. And when he was raised, he ate with them. But that food will not be essential for his survival. You see, the new body can go a million years without food. It only eats food for pleasure. Okay, study your Bible. Now, but what he's saying that sex is not essential for the body. So let me explain. See, the food, he says, is like the main course. Then the sex is what? A dessert. You understand me? Anybody like dessert? You like? Oh, where are you? Come on. I like dessert. We all like dessert. We may have different types of dessert, but we all like. Some people's dessert is one piece of grape. Yeah? But it's still a dessert. Are you listening? Food is essential, but sex is a bonus. Are you understanding me? Now, let me shock somebody. In the new world, when you have a new body, there'll be no sex. At all. Jesus said, there's no marriage or anybody being given in marriage. We will be like the angels. Hallelujah. But there will be no sex, not because it was not possible. There's no need for it. We're not going to reproduce. Once we're in the new world, the number is complete. There's no new babies or reproduction in the new world. Do you understand? I don't have time. I should round up. But let me just chip this in. The real reason why it's like this is because marriage, you need to study your Bible and look at the purpose of marriage. You find it in Ephesians. He was given the purpose of marriage. He said, marriage, yeah, was given to reflect the position of Christ and his church. So marriage actually is a shadow of the real thing. The real thing is Christ and his church. Now, the original Greek word where sex comes from is a bigger word. It's not that word, big Greek word. This is a revelation. Listen, the big word that sex comes from is a big word. It's not just talking about sex. The Greek word that sex comes from is called koinonia. Koinonia is a Greek word that defines fellowship. It defines communion. It defines intimacy. And also defines intercourse. Hey, listen to me. Now, the real deal, the one that we can experience on this earth and we continue forever, and whose pleasure and joy we by far surpass the pleasure of sex, is koinonia with God. And koinonia with God's people. And that's why we're having a fortress. That's why I say, I will build my church. That's why he said, the body is what? For the Lord. Koinonia. Worship. Fellowship. Communion. Your intimacy with God is the deepest form of intimacy you can experience for all eternity. And the pleasures of koinonia is what will sustain us through eternity. Because we will continue to discover God forever and we will continue to enjoy the climax and the excitement of discovering God. It's the true fellowship. It's the true intimacy. It's the true climax. And we can begin to experience it from this world. Are you with me? That's why your fellowship with God and with God's people is the real foretaste of heaven. Now, let me show you verse 17. I'm not going there already. It says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. What does that mean? Koinonia. The fellowship. It's through our fellowship with God that we practice the oneness we have with him. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God will dwell with his people forever. Hallelujah. Let's pray. That God has spoken to you, you know, in many ways. Just thank God for his word. Pray today. Remember what I said about looking at the mirror and forgetting who you look like. Today, as the word of God has gone for you, have seen who you look like. You have seen it, sure, because the word of God is a mirror. what you have seen, the part that you don't like, repent of it. I believe it's a matter of pride, really, when we face God's word and we just want to walk away like we were. Repent of it and say, this is not who you made me. I repent. I'm sorry. Is there any lust sitting in your heart? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Repent of it and say, Father, I'm sorry. Have you dishonored God with your body in any way? You know, whether by not properly maintaining it or properly packaging it or properly using it. Repent and say, Father, I'm sorry. Now, why? The next thing is, I want you to rededicate your body to God. And say, God, Father, my body is not mine. My body is yours. My prayer, use this body for your glory. Now, like I said, when you maintain your body well, you are glorifying God. When you package it well, in decency and modesty, you are glorifying God. When you use it well, you use your energy to love and serve God, you are glorifying God. When you use it by abstaining from immorality, you are what? Glorifying God. Receive grace today. Father, I receive grace. It's my body to glorify you. Now, when you use your faith and you keep your body in health, you are also what? Glorifying God. Sickness is not what glorifies God. Yeah? Your health makes you productive. That glorifies God. So say, Father, I receive grace. I receive power. Lord, I receive grace and power to use my body for your glory. I am not a weakling in life. I arise in the strength of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's come together and share the grace.